The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
As I just said, over the weekend, Israel had to send military jets into Cairo to evacuate its diplomats after Egyptian protesters surrounded the embassy and Egyptian police clashed with demonstrators outside the Israeli facility. Representatives from both Israel and Egypt reaffirmed their commitment to what can only be described as a sort of fragile peace agreement. Here's a spokesman from the Israeli government.
We want the peace treaty with Egypt to stay strong. We want to make sure that peace between Israel and Egypt is there. A lot of people over 50 remember when we had wars with Egypt. Many people got killed. Everyone who knows the history of the Middle East conflict remembers those wars. We don't want to go back there. We want the peace to flourish, and we'll make every effort to make that happen.
Joining us now, Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, and Noel King, now a freelance reporter based in Cairo. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Celeste.
Good morning, Celeste.
Noel, can you give us an idea of what Cairo is like, the mood in the city? You know, I mean, there are a few demonstrations that make headlines, but in fact, if you read closely, it seems that there's at least some kind of protest going on in Cairo almost daily.
Sure, that's absolutely right. And one of the things to consider and to remember is that not all of these protests encompass or include a tremendous amount of people. I mean, you have 200 here, 400 here, 1,000 there. So there is protest every day, and it's sort of a concrete illustration of some of the frustrations that Egyptians are feeling following the revolution, where the economy hasn't really gotten better. Some of the political gains appear to be undermined. There's some tightening of some of the freedoms that were present in the early days after the revolution. But the incident on Friday and then early into the hours on Saturday was different for most people. Somebody told me, you know, if you look at it on a flat line, it's not a huge blip, but it's a pretty significant blip. And it's got everybody looking toward the Israeli embassy and questioning what is Egypt's relationship with Israel right now and for the near future.
Well, what prompted this particular protest? Is it expected to be repeated?
You know, there's fierce debate over that. Some people say it was the actions of a number of hooligans who got out of control. There had been a fight between the supporters of a particular football club here in Cairo, a soccer club here in Cairo, and the police. And some people say, you know, those young people took to the streets and they were out of control. Other people say, look, since the revolution happened, Egyptians have felt much more comfortable expressing their frustrations with Israel than they ever did when Hosni Mubarak was in power. And this is, again, a sort of concrete illustration of the way Egyptians really feel about Israel.
That's Noel King, and now a freelance reporter based in Cairo. Ethan Bronner is also with us, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Well, Ethan, when the uprising began in Egypt, people were worried over the fact that it could damage the sort of fragile peace between Egypt and Israel. Are we watching that happen?
We definitely are watching that happen. There's no question that what was not a very warm peace is chilling even further. And I think that, you know, the popular opinion in Egypt has always been very anti-Israel, and President Mubarak kept a lid on it, and with him gone, the lid has blown off. I think that's clearly what we're seeing. And the question moving forward is whether the government, right now the military council that's temporarily in charge, how much it will listen to the street and how much it wants to keep American aid and sort of strategic alliance in the Sinai and so on with Israel.
And the other question, Ethan Bronner, is whether the interim government that's acting in Egypt right now actually has the capability to maintain law and order.
You're quite right. That's exactly the question. I mean, I think the answer is it probably does. Noah would know better than I. But it's also a question of what you want to invest in whatever goal you have. So, I don't know. It looks to me like there was a little bit more shock in Egypt about the fact that even if everybody hates Israel, there is an embassy and one's not very happy about seeing it ransacked that way. So there is some kind of reshuffling going on. But you're right.
Well, Noel, let me put that question to you then. What do you see that gives you thoughts about whether or not the interim government can maintain law and order?
You get the impression that they absolutely can maintain law and order. Huh. That it, you know, they for the past 6-7 months they've actually done a remarkable job of keeping things under control and running fairly smoothly. I think what the security forces need to do, and they're well aware of this, they're walking a very fine line, right? And one of the criticisms of this past Friday and Saturday was, had they done more to stop the protesters, they probably could have de-escalated the situation more quickly. But they didn't want to turn on the protesters and look like the enemy. They have a very vested interest in not looking like the enemy of Egypt's young people, of Egypt's protesters, of the Egyptian people in general, of course.
That's Noel King, freelance reporter based in Cairo. To you again, Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem bureau chief for a partner of the New York Times. What kind of position does this put the United States in as they try to support the fledgling government in Egypt and obviously not flag in their support for Israel?
Yes, it puts it in a very difficult position. Of course, during the events of that Friday night, the Israelis were unable to reach General Tantawi, the leader of the military council in Egypt, to ask for help. So they ended up calling the Americans, and Prime Minister Netanyahu called President Obama, who did reach the Egyptians, and then eventually commandos did go in, Egyptian commandos, and save the remaining 6 Israelis in that embassy. So that clearly the Americans have to work with both of their allies. The Americans do not want to see this relationship fray further. They have a lot of frustrations with this Israeli government because they think it's not being sufficiently bold in its efforts toward the Palestinians, which certainly rhetorically and emotionally is the central cause of the hostility toward Israel in Egypt, in Turkey, and around the region.
And could we, Ethan, be headed for a breaking point in terms of Israel's place in the Middle East?
We could be. I think that nobody knows. The real question is could this happen next in Jordan, where
exactly.
There's also an Israeli embassy?
Or any other area in which Israel has either diplomats or representatives trying to broker any kind of peace.
There aren't that many Israeli embassies, but it could happen. It could happen in Sweden. It's hard to know. But Israel is definitely increasingly alone in its view of how it's handling its Palestinian situation.
And obviously chilling relationships between its two, I guess, strongest allies in the region, Egypt and now Turkey as well. That's Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, and Noel King, freelance reporter based in Cairo. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thank you, Celeste.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.